Thank you so much for joining me today on Just Praise Him Radio. I'm your host, Linda Lomax, and my job is to inspire you to a closer walk with Christ. Now here's the show. Hello, believers. Welcome to the Just Praise Him radio program. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and today we're going to talk about a lot of things, but overall we're going to be talking about trusting God, and I mean trusting Him at a very deep level, okay? Trusting God is something that is going to be everything as you enter into the end of the end times, okay? It is the key for what you need, even when you don't know what you're going to be needing. I want to talk about real Bible-believing faith, all right? And before you turn this video off and think you've heard it all, I'm teaching you this because of something that the Lord told me is coming that He told me I could not release. And that means you need this. You can receive it or not receive it, but that's why I'm teaching it. So I want you to think about, do you trust God? Do you really believe that you trust God? I mean, you trust Him for your salvation, right? That's why you're listening to this, because you believe that you're saved and you trust Him for that. He's your Father, right? He's going to provide everything you need to get by, right? But do you really trust Him, or do you just think you trust Him? And do you know how to tell the difference? I want to talk about how to tell the difference in real trust and superficial trust. Trust is about intimacy. You cannot have intimacy with someone you don't trust. I could never have real intimacy with my husband, Rick, because I could not trust him not to hurt me. But I trusted my mother 100% my entire lifetime, because I knew she would never hurt me. She did discipline me. She did. She disciplined me with a belt and occasionally with a switch. She most definitely did discipline me, y'all. She was a Southern mama. But I knew that she did that out of her love for me. I knew that she was teaching me, you know, right from wrong, even though at the time I was getting that belt, it did not feel like teaching. It felt like a lot of stuff, but not teaching. But she didn't want me to grow up and be a good-for-nothing spoiled brat. So she had to do that if she loved me. You know, and the Bible says that God our Father chastens those whom He loves. And that's why He does it. So I do have intimacy with the Lord. And I know He will never hurt me, so I trust Him. I trust Him with my whole life, my eternity, my financial situation from day to day. I trust Him enough that I don't work a job. I don't draw a check. I don't get a Social Security check. I'm not on a disability check. I am 100% donation supported. The only income that I have besides that comes in is a very small amount of royalties each month on the books. Not even enough to feed me, but that is the only regular income that I have aside from donations. I move whenever God tells me to move, and I go wherever He tells me to go, regardless of how I feel or don't feel about that. So that there is an intimacy with between you and God if you have that kind of relationship with Him. And He teaches you how to trust Him like that. He had to teach me. You know, I didn't come into this walk trusting Him. I never knew Him before. So how was I going to trust Him? What happens if we don't have real trust and real faith when we really need it? Well, I'm glad you asked, because that happened to me once. It's probably happened to me more than once, but I'm going to tell you a story in a minute that I've never told before about a time that it happened to me from over a decade ago, or around a decade ago. So let's talk about trusting when nothing in your world stays the same as it is right now, okay? Because what we're talking about going into the end of the end times is the world is not going to look like it looks now, okay? It's not going to look like this. It's not going to operate like this. You have to understand that when you think about how you're going to survive. And if you listen to this whole podcast or watch this whole video and you just say, well, I'm still going to do it my way, that's fine. That is your choice and you can do that. It is my job to teach you the things I believe He's telling me to teach you, to try to help you and prepare you for that. Okay? The time that we're going to be entering into then, that I have seen, does not have electronics. So what that means is you're not going to be able to turn on YouTube and watch videos. You're not going to be able to turn on Podbean or your phone and listen to these podcasts. And that means that when this happens, and when it happens, it will happen, I believe, very suddenly. When it happens, all this is going to be taken away. And what is going to be left is what you learned and what you know in your heart to be true. Okay? That is what you're going to have to survive on. All right? That's why this is so important. When I entered into that first wilderness in 1998, I had no idea what was happening in my life. No clue. No idea. I had never heard of being taken into the wilderness. I just knew that the Lord had taken me out of work. I had a job lined up in Mississippi. And when I picked up the phone to call and go to it, He said, put down the phone. And I'm like, can we talk about my bills? Because somebody's going to pay my bills. And He didn't say anything else. I'm like, okay, well, He said, He's basically saying, don't go. So there's always a reason. I knew enough about Him as far as what I could feel when He was near me to know, to listen. I did know that. And so I obeyed Him, not knowing what was going to happen or why He was telling me not to go to work. So He didn't tell me what else to do for money, y'all. And I had several thousand dollars, I think, $3,000 or $4,000 put back to pay taxes at the end of the year, because the job I had been working for, I don't know, maybe a year, something, a year, 2 years, I don't remember, a couple of years maybe, at that point was a contract job. And I was doing contract permitting. And in contract work, you have to pay your own taxes. There's no paycheck that you bill them, you're a company, you send them a bill, they pay you, and you're responsible for making sure your taxes get paid and all that at the end of the year. And if you are self-employed, as I was in the contract world, the taxes are horrendous. Okay. So I saved out, so I could pay my taxes at the end of the year. So that's all I had. That was it. So I lived on that, paid my bills, And when that ran out, I started living on my credit cards because I didn't have anything. I didn't know what else I was supposed to do. So, I lived on my credit cards. And then came the month when I couldn't pay my rent. My rent was only $200 in Sayre, Oklahoma. It was $200 a month. It was a little tiny frame house. And so I prayed and prayed, and the Lord showed me to go stay with my dad. And my dad had been diagnosed with terminal cancer at that time. He was dying of lung cancer. And he lived in a house smaller than mine. I mean, it was really small. So I went to stay with him for a short time. So I needed to spend some time with him anyway. And the first day I was there, the next morning after I got there, I drove into Dallas and applied for work as a temp. Because I figured if nothing else, I could make some gas money. Because I thought, okay, maybe I'm going back out into the oil field. Maybe, God's just going to send me a different job than the one in Mississippi. I did not know that in between the time I had gone on vacation and been off work and the time that the Lord was sending me to Texas, that the oil field had gone, it had folded. Oil and gas, when it drops below a certain level, all the work shuts down. And you have to wait sometimes. Well, I think this time it's just starting to go back up now. I think it's been down for over a decade. And I know some people that have gone back to work in it. Okay, so it went kaput. When I was in that wilderness, the only faith that I had was the faith in what I could see, because my faith had not been developed. So all I had faith for was what I could see. And God was trying to teach me how to have faith in something else. Okay? So I had faith in the money that was in the bank, in my savings account, my tax savings account. And then I had faith in the credit cards, And when I had went back to work, then I had faith in my paycheck. Those are all things I could see. I could see them because I could see the bills, all right? You can see the bills when they're coming in, right? And you want something else that you can see that will pay those bills off. If you are on the paycheck system, you have faith in your paycheck and in your ability to earn a living. That's where my faith was at that time. If you're on Social Security or disability, you have faith in getting that check from the government. That is not the same thing as Bible-believing faith, okay? Now, you may be believing God to keep you able to work, and that's fine, but that's still the paycheck system, all right? So I just want y'all to understand the difference. Whichever way you choose to go is fine, but I want you to understand the difference. I want to teach you why you need Bible-believing faith. When you enter into the wilderness that is coming, if you do not have Bible faith, it will be a nightmare for you that you cannot escape, okay? I am telling you the truth. Please hear me on this. I was on the paycheck system, and I was taken off it, and not voluntarily. I mean, this is what God wanted to do, and I submitted to His will because I knew that His will would be for my good overall. I mean, I knew that He was God. He loved me, so it must be for my good. So I submitted, and I knew that you're supposed to do what He said. When I was taken off the paycheck system, it was terrifying. It was so terrifying. That is, you may hear my dog howling in the background. That is a life-changing trip that is akin to hanging off a cliff. You're just hanging there by your fingernails. That's what it feels like when you go through that. And the whole time that you're hanging there and you're praying and you're begging God to rescue out of that, Satan and his demons are taking every shot at you they can, trying to take you down. There was a vision that God gave me in January of 2002. And I call it the ladder vision because in this vision, I was on a ladder, like I was going up this ladder. And on the very beginning of the, I remember when I stepped on the first rung, what fell off? Each rung that I went up, something fell away. And I can't remember all of it now, so I'm not going to try to tell you because it will probably be completely backwards. But one of the rungs, one of the higher up rungs, when it got real close to the top, at the very top, it went up into the clouds. And about the third or fourth rung down from where it went into the clouds, I was on the ladder, and I turned a little bit, and here came this giant head of Satan breathing fire at me. And I remember I wanted him to get away from me, and then a sword appeared in my hand, which we know represents the word of God, and I started smacking him on the head, and he fell away, and I continued to climb. But it was obvious he didn't want me to make it up any higher. So I looked back a couple times, and I thought maybe this was that or that. But in retrospect, that was those wilderness journeys, especially that last one. That was those wilderness journeys and him trying to just shut me down and stop me. Because he knew, Satan knows that I'm a talker, and he knows I love to teach, and he knows anything I learn, I'm going to share. So when you are taken off the paycheck system before you have faith and Bible-believing faith, it's like being a flying trapeze artist, and you know, you let go of the thing you're flying off of, and you're flying through the air to grab that bar thing, only you don't know if you're going to make it or not, and it don't look like you're going to make it, and you're just there flying through the dark, you know, trying to grab hold. That's what it feels like. Faith is the currency of heaven. Without faith, you cannot receive from God, because that is how you receive everything from God, is by believing. You ask, and we ask and we pray because we believe that God will answer. We believe that He will give us the things that we need. If you didn't believe He would give you what you need, you wouldn't ask. You wouldn't spend any time praying, and some people don't spend any time praying, and that's why. In order to have the kind of faith that will get you through what is coming, you are going to have to develop faith muscles on the way between now and then. I personally don't think that it's a very long time before this all goes down. A professional boxer trains for the ring a long time before he steps into that ring in an actual match. And the reason is because he knows what is required to be at the top of his game and good at what he does. And he's just going to get beat up by his opponent if he don't. If he don't take the time to train and train his muscles and train, you know, how he's going to respond to the enemy? He's going down when he steps in that ring. Okay, so how do you train your faith? You believe for stuff and you get it. You believe for help. You believe for a job. You believe for whatever you need at the time and you get it. You believe for healing. But it really works best when it's stuff you really, really need, when the stakes are really high. That's when you get the strongest faith from going through that journey, okay? So what you can do is you can pray and ask the Lord to get your faith ready for whatever you personally are going to have to walk through, because every person is going to have to walk through something different. Your journey is going to be different than my journey. It's going to be different than somebody else in your house, somebody down the road. Everybody's journey is going to be different, what they have to go through. I don't know if y'all know that I pray for what I'm supposed to talk to you about in a podcast. But I was praying about this yesterday as I went to walk, and I begin to think about how people say that they're believing God for provision in the end times. And they're like, well, I'm just believing He's going to take care of me. And how those same people, there's evidence in their life that they're not even believing Him now for what they need. And so if you're not believing Him now when things are relatively easy, and they're very easy compared to how they're going to be, how are you going to believe Him then? That is the whole point I want you to understand from this podcast. If you cannot believe Him now for what you actually need, how on earth are you going to believe Him when you are running for your life and under all kinds of terrible persecution and hard circumstances? And you can't listen to a podcast, you can't hear a sermon, you can't pull a Bible out in public. How are you going to believe Him then when you can't believe Him now? Y'all get this, okay? I want you to get this. I really, really want you to get this. Because I really believe that when there is turnover in our presidential office in the U.S., that a lot of bad stuff's going to go down. I don't know if President Trump will make it to the end of his first term or not, okay? He has so many people hating on him and trying to sabotage everything about him. I'm not saying he's perfect, but I do believe he's trying to do some good things for the country the best that he can. He can't make America great again, because that's not what made America not great again. The lack of business and jobs is not what hurt us. What hurt us was the people turning to sin and turning away from God. That's why America is not great like it used to be, okay? But it struck me that the 2-year period that the Lord spoke to me about, He spoke to me the end of August last year in 2017. So if I take that as the beginning of the 2 years, then the 2-year period when He was talking about taking the merciful people home ends the end of August 2019, okay? Which is approximately a year before the end of the presidential term. That would be assuming that President Trump was still there. I believe that when he leaves office, however he leaves, that there is a lot of stuff planned against Christians and against the freedoms that we have enjoyed previously. And that's all I'm going to say about that at this point, but I have reason for believing that. For those of you who, you know, hope that God's going to provide for you in what is coming, hope is not going to get you through. Can I just tell you that? Hope is not going to be enough to get you through. We're talking about a time that the Bible says is going to be worse than any time before it. And that's bad, real bad. So that means it's worse than the Holocaust. It's pretty hard to imagine anything being worse than the Holocaust for God's people. Okay, I want to talk to you about what can happen if you don't have Bible-believing faith and you suddenly need it. Let me tell you a story. I don't believe I've ever shared this story with y'all before because I don't talk about this much. It was years ago. It was back in 2003. And I was working in a beautiful office in the ritzy part of Dallas for someone that was really hard to work for. And I went to the women's clinic in Richardson for some abnormal bleeding. And they were running all these tests on me. So I was, 2003, I would have been 43 years old. And I was having a sonogram this particular day that I had to go in. And, you know, the doctor's talking to me as she's doing it and all that. And I will never, as long as I live, I will never forget. She looked at the screen and then she looked at me and she said, "There is a large mass inside your cervix." And I remember the fear just hitting me like a Texas thunderstorm, just boom. And it was just everywhere at once. And then she said, "I'm going to biopsy that today." You never want to hear the word biopsy because it is never anything good when you hear that word, is it? It's never anything good. My mother was, may she rest in peace, a uterine cancer survivor. So and the only thing worse than being told, "I'm going to biopsy that," is when you know that you're not going to be asleep or under the influence of painkillers when they take that biopsy, like that day, and you almost pass out. So that's fun. Yeah. My faith had not been, in 2003, developed in the area of healing. Okay, I had no faith for healing. I'd heard many stories of God healing people. I believed he did heal. I believed he did miraculous healings. I didn't think that, you know, his batteries ran out way back after Jesus died. But so I had no shield of faith about, you know, that to lift up when that fear attacked me. I had nothing to lift up because I had nothing else. If I had, I think that I would have initially had a jolt, and then I would have thought, okay, there's a large mass there. It may or may not be, you know, cancer, but those are facts. And the truth of God's word still says I was already healed. In 1 Peter 2:24, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." Were healed. Were means it already happened way back there. Okay. The Lord showed me. Now this is all in the last, yesterday and today. I've been working on this a bunch. The Lord showed me that millions of Christians are walking around saying they trust God with this or with that. And they really believe they do, because they do not know what it means to really trust him. The majority of churches are not teaching what is really coming now in the end times, either because they don't know or because they prefer to give light teachings that make people think they're learning enough, and that way they can be popular and everybody wants to come to the church and have social hour. But they're keeping the sheep in a deep sleep. And what's really upsetting to me is the sheep are starving. If you don't give them real food, they are starving to death. And I have a problem with the sheep starving. That it makes me angry. He showed me that all these people that think they trust God, who don't really trust God, are going to be defeated quickly when the first wave of attack in the huge end time battle, the vision that he showed me years ago, when that first wave hits, I saw them go down immediately. I didn't know who they were, the ones that I saw, but it was a bunch. There's a video on my channel, well, on this channel, early 2009. There was no fight in them because they didn't know how to fight. They had spent their time on earth playing, not learning kingdom principles and not allowing him to teach their hands to war. Not in his word, not allowing his refining, because they didn't want to go through anything hard or uncomfortable. So they didn't know what they needed to know when the battle came. And they were destroyed immediately. I saw those who did know how to do battle and those who do know how to stand on his word, and the enemy wasn't able to kill them. They stayed in the fight and they defended the front line, and they did not go down in the vision. Their armor was shiny and strong. So the question is, which group are you in? We need to think about that, huh? All right, let's find out. I'm going to read you a little story here. I want you to think back to Noah. Noah was told by God. Noah was a preacher. He preached. He was told by God to build a boat. God said, I'm tired of all this. I'm going to destroy the world. Build a boat. I'm going to save you and your family and nobody else. Start hammering. It is one thing for Noah to obey God by building the ark, according to his very strict stipulations. But it is quite another for him to walk into that ark with his family and believe God for protection and provision, isn't it? I mean, what did he really have to go on? There was no Bible back then. He had what he had heard. He didn't have a Bible to refer to. He didn't have a podcast. He didn't have sermon series on TV. He had just what he believed God had spoken to him. What if he was wrong? What if that wasn't really God? You know Satan had to have taunted him with that. You know he did. Because everybody I've ever known who heard from God, Satan always tries to tell him from time to time, that's just you. God didn't say that. So it had to be tough for Noah. Obviously, he made the right choice and he got in the ark and he took his family, but think about that for a minute. It's one thing to lend intellectual agreement to the design and capability of an airplane, but it's quite another for you to walk into that plane and fly on it. When you walk into the plane and fly on it, then your faith is complete. That is real faith, okay? Noah had to have complete faith in God in order to board the ark and take his family with him. If the flood happened suddenly and Noah had not been building the boat in faith for all those years, do you think he would have had faith that he and his family would have been saved from the flood? Because I don't think he would have. He had all that time that he's hammering and he's sawing boards. He had all that time to think about it. You know, as he's, and every day that he worked on the ark, he was believing God. He was believing what God said because he was doing the action of that belief. You know, he's building the ark. You know, what guarantee did he have that he and his family wouldn't be taken too? Noah had an intimate walk with God. He had to have, in order to do that, build that huge boat, for one thing, while being ridiculed by everybody, and to trust God with himself and his family. He had to have had an intimate walk. How hard would it be for you if God spoke that to you today? Do you think you'd run right down to Home Depot and start buying boards? But would you? What if he told you to go spend your whole paycheck on boards and start building a boat? No way to get that wood somewhere. And I mean, I'm sure he didn't run to Home Depot, but you know what I'm saying. A lot of times the things that God tells us to do cost us something. Sometimes it costs us to lay down something. Sometimes it costs us because we have to go get something or rent a place or do something to obey what he has told us to do. I remember when the Lord told me to move back to Elk City and honor my mother with my presence. Cost me $2,000 to leave Oklahoma City to buy out of the leases I was under. But it didn't matter because he was saying to do it, and I knew he was saying to do it, so I did it. I praise God for that time I had with her then, because I used to go see her at the nursing home every day I could after work. I was so exhausted. I went as many days as I could unless I thought I was ill. If I thought I was ill, I wouldn't go. We sometimes have to go through some things in order for God to increase our faith, like he did with Noah, okay? But the word says in 2 Corinthians 4:17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. What's really going to be required in times to come is water walking. Y'all remember when Peter got out of the boat? Remember that? And when that happened, Jesus had just got through feeding the multitude with the two-piece fish dinner, okay? When the whole boat incident happened. When Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. When he heard of it is talking about when he heard of John the Baptist being beheaded. Jesus was sad. He was trying to go be alone in the mountains and talk to God. I am positive he was. And Jesus, but then the people heard, oh, there goes Jesus. You know, it's like Brad Pitt, you know, you'd run for wherever he's at. Well, they heard, you know, Jesus could heal. They didn't have hospitals back then. They didn't have very much medical stuff. They didn't have much knowledge about sickness. Jesus could heal people. So yeah, they ran for him. So here comes the stampede. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion towards them. And he healed their sick. Even in his state, which he had to be very grieved over, John the Baptist being
killed.
And even in his bereaved state, he was moved with compassion because he loves people so much that he healed the sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, "This is a desert place and the time is now past. Send the multitude away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals." Let them go, Jesus. Let them go to McDonald's. They're hungry. But Jesus said unto them, "They need not depart. Give them something to eat. We'll feed them." Jesus said, "They don't need to go to McDonald's. We'll feed them." And they say unto him, "We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. So I think that Jesus was trying to go to the mountain after he heard about John the Baptist because he needed time with the Lord. He needed to go pour out his heart and he needed to pray so that he could stay strong and, you know, not fall prey to all that grief. And yet, you know, he had just fed the multitude, you know, with the 2-piece fish dinner. And then now here's all these other people. And sometimes in our darkest hour, God does his greatest works. He'll do the greatest miracles just because we obeyed or just because we did what we were supposed to do, what we knew was the right thing to do. And straight away, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitude away. So he's like, okay, we fed them. I'm going to send them away. Y'all go ahead and, you know, launch the ship. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. See, he went up to the mountain so he could still spend time with God. If he let the disciples stay there, he couldn't do that. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, which is the wee hours of the morning, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spoke unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." So stop for just a minute. If it's you, tell me to come to you. There was only one answer Jesus could give. He couldn't say, "No, it's not me, Peter," because he'd be lying. So he had to say, "Come." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. So Peter did walk on the water. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. When he looked at his circumstances, like we all do, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." Those walking into these end times will see things far more fearful than a boisterous wind, I am telling you. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" Peter's faith was not big enough to sustain him on the rough seas he had entered into on that time, okay? His faith was not big enough to handle the situation he had just been into, and fear set in quickly, just like with me at the doctor's office in 2003, rendering him unable to complete the task he set out to do, which was walk on the water to Jesus. What happened to Peter is what's going to happen to all those who do not develop faith muscle before entering into that time which is coming and which I believe will come suddenly. They may start out very strong, but then they will sink because their house is not built on the rock. They will not know how to walk in places that are not made for walking, or to survive in places where there is no provision. I think most Christians believe their faith is much bigger than it actually is. I used to believe that too. If you ask most Christians today if they have Bible-believing faith, I think they would say yes, that they do. But how can you know if you really have it? Because you need to know you really have it. Do you know how to find a promise to stand on in the Bible? When you need something, do you know how to go to the Word of God and find a scripture that you can stand on to receive what you need from the Lord? Do you know how to receive from Him based on a verse in the Bible, based on scripture? Because that is Bible-believing faith. What does Bible-believing faith look like? King David, when he wrote Psalm 141, "Blessed be the Lord my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight." He stayed in praise and worship all the time. I believe that he was in whatever he knew of the word, whether that was things he had been told, stories that had been related about the disciples, or whatever they had back then, the Torah. I believe he was in that and he knew them, because David was a righteous man. Abraham, he didn't have a Bible, but he did have God's word. God talked to him and he stood on it. When God said go, he went. He didn't tell him where he's going. He just went. Noah, he didn't have a Bible, but he had God's word. God talked to him and he stood on it. One thing that I want to mention briefly. There was a time in 1998, so it would have been about 2 years into my walk. I was already in Dallas, and I wasn't staying at my dad's anymore. And I remember I'd been listening to a lot of sermons, reading the word, you know, doing all that. And I remember thinking one day, I wonder if everything in the Bible is really true. I'd read something in the Bible that was one of those stories that you go, really? And I began to wonder, is everything in here true? And I started to pray about that. And I started to really think about it a lot. And one day, after praying and talking to the Lord, I said, you know what? I know this is His word. I know that however these books of the Bible got here, I know they came from Him. I can tell because I can see them, you know, I can see things from them that I know are Him. I can feel His presence when I read the word. And I said, I'm just going to make the decision to believe every word of this book, period. In Texas, we call that going whole hog. So the point is, I just made the decision to go ahead and believe the whole Bible. Now, if you have not made that decision, you might want to think about that. And the reason is because I know a lot of people don't believe or listen to or read anything in the Old Testament. They just think that the Old Testament is no good anymore, that we only should go by the New Testament. I disagree. The reason I disagree is because the Old Testament's from the Lord too. And because you can get so much revelation from the Old Testament that it would make sense to me why Satan would only want you to follow the new. How can you say that you believe God and you don't believe everything He said and you only choose to believe half of it? How can you say that? If He didn't throw away the Old Testament, why are you throwing it away? It doesn't make sense to me. He wrote both through inspiration. If you trust God with your soul, which if you're saved, you do, and to get you to eternity, you must trust what His word says. All of it, I think, personally, I think. One of the things that came up in my spirit as the Lord was showing me this, and this is actually the first thing that He showed me, when He showed me this was what He wanted me to talk about, is there are so many Christians, what He showed me in my spirit, there are so many Christians that say that they believe Him for their provision and what is to come, and that they believe Him for everything they need now, but who refuse to give Him 10%. And before you turn this off and say, preachers just want your money. Let me tell you something. If you say that, you obviously don't have no preachers in your family. I got preachers on both sides. On my mom and dad's side had preachers. Because if you want a lot of money, this is not the profession you choose, okay? I'm just going to tell y'all that. For those of you who don't know, this is not the profession you go into if you want to make money. I have to wonder how the Lord feels when he sees you having that attitude, though. I have to wonder. It has to grieve him that he gives you so much and blesses you with so much. But I want to explain something to you. Tithing, 1/10, is not by accident. 10 is the number of the test. In Genesis 16:3, Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan. That's how they got Ishmael, which is probably how we got Isis, I'm just saying. Laban changed Jacob's wages 10 times. That was a test for Jacob if he was going to hold out and marry Rachel or not. There were 10 plagues put on Pharaoh and the Egyptians when they wouldn't release the Israelites. There were 10 virgins. There are 10 virgins in the parable of the virgins. There are 10 commandments. The Holy Spirit fell after 10 days in the upper room. You get what I'm saying? Anytime you see a number 10, that red flag alert should be right there, because that means there's a test involved somewhere. The Lord says if we don't tithe, we are robbing him. So that means that 10% actually belongs to him, not you. And it says that we rob him through tithes and offerings, which means we're supposed to give 10% plus an offering on top of that. And I think it's a gratitude offering. That's what I look at. I knew this wonderful Southern gentleman for years in the oil field. Well, I still know him. He and his wife are just wonderful Christians. He told me one time that he and his wife tithe 12% because he decided 10% plus 2%, you know, like a gratitude offering. And God has prospered them. They have a beautiful home. He's retired now, but he actually has interest in oil wells. That man wants for nothing. His wife wants for nothing. And God has taken care of them because they honored God. They honored his word. I don't understand how people can think that they are being obedient to God and that they trust God and they refuse to obey that part of the Bible. And I'm not saying send your tithe to me. I'm saying just tithe because God's telling you to tithe wherever you tithe. How is he going to bless you if you don't obey? He only blesses obedience. And for those of you who say tithing is Old Testament, if you throw out the Old Testament, you got to throw out Psalm 91, Psalm 23, all of Proverbs, all the rest of Psalms, and every prophecy in the Old Testament. If you if you disregard the Old Testament, you have to disregard all of it. You can't pick and choose, oh, I'll take this, but I don't want that. No, you either take it or you don't take it, all right? So if you're going to disregard the Old Testament, you have to disregard all of it. You might as well just take that whole part of your Bible and just put it somewhere else and just keep the New Testament. Y'all know I ain't gonna candy coat this for you. I'm not going to do it. Not going to do it. So if you are telling yourself that you trust God and you don't trust him with 10%, you don't trust him. You're just lying to yourself. You're just lying to yourself. Because a lot of people say, well, I can't afford to tithe. When I make more money, I'll tithe. No, you won't. You know why you won't? Because when you don't tithe and offer, the rest of your money is cursed. It is as if you carried it around in a bag with holes in it. It will go so fast and you won't know where it went. Your stuff will break down. Things will be stolen from you because your money is cursed. You will never have enough money to tithe if you don't tithe. That's what I'm telling you. Y'all, I tithed when I was eating lunch on $5 a week. I'm not kidding you. I cannot make this up. When that was going on, I had no idea I was going to write books. I had no idea any of this other stuff that I was going to ever minister, anything I was going to, I was just trying to live my life. I was eating lunch on $5 a week. God was providing for me because I tithed, because I refused not to tithe to him, because I knew I was supposed to. If you want God to carry you when there is no provision around you, if you want him to take care of you in times that are harder than anything you can ever imagine, you need to obey him. And you need to obey him completely. There are some people that go, well, you know, I got to pay all my bills, then I'll tithe. You know what happens when you do that? The tithe always comes off the top. It comes off first, and it comes off the gross, not the net. It doesn't come on the part you get after taxes. It comes off the whole amount before taxes. That is the proper way to tithe, okay? I'm going to tell y'all the right way to do it. You You can choose never to tithe if you want to. You could not pay me not to tithe, because I have seen the promise of the tithe in action for years. That is what has sustained me. I live the faith walk, y'all. I'm not making this stuff up. I live this. This is how I have lived since 2012, since the Wilderness Companion was published. This is how I live. Every month is by faith. Every month it's by faith that, you know, if the transmission goes out in my truck, God's going to bring me the money to fix it, even though I don't know where it can come from. It doesn't matter. I don't know where it's going to come from. He knows where to get it. And here's something else. Somebody told me this a long time ago, or I heard it on TV. I don't remember. Money is actually the easiest thing for him to get to you. And it's the thing that we're sometimes most afraid of giving up. If you will just trust him, the Bible, it's the only place in the Bible where God says, prove me now herewith. He's saying, come on, test me. I'll show you. If you will prove him, he will show you. He can prosper you. And you will live in peace. He will rebuke the devourer from your stuff. You won't have as much worry. You won't have as much stuff going wrong. And he will prove to you that his word is true. I've seen it work so many times that, you know, that year, 2009, 2010, during the Great Recession, I lived on unemployment, and unemployment's not a lot of money. If you've been on unemployment, you know, it's a certain percentage of what you used to make. It was only half enough to pay the very minimum of, you know, my bills, my rent, my car payment. It was only half enough. Every single month, God had to do miracles in order for me to pay my bills home and become homeless. He did it every month. Every month. And I did not have a ministry then. I had started going on YouTube. I think in 2009, he put me on YouTube. I think it was like 2011 before he put me in doing podcast. I can't remember, but, and then it was the end. It was either the beginning or the end of 2011 when he started the Wing site. I just did stuff as he told me to do it. And I just trusted him that he would, you know, he'd get it done. But there was times when, you know, you're laying there trying to go to sleep and you got a stack of bills like this, and you're like, Lord, I just, you know, ask you to come in and pay the bills, you know, do something, bring the money for the bills. And the devil's going, it's not going to happen. Your bills, you know, your utilities are going to be shut off. You're going to be kicked out. You're not going to have any place to live. You're going to lose your vehicle. You know, the devil's lying to you and telling you all that stuff. That's the battleground. That's where you fight. When the devil's saying one thing and God's saying something else, the fight is on. And you're the one who has to fight. You have to say which one you're going to believe. You can just give in and believe the devil. Believe all the bad stuff, but you have to fight to believe God. And if you want to build some faith, you will fight that battle and you'll win it. And you'll do it every time. That is the only way that you can get faith for what is coming. It's the only way you can get faith for now, okay? I think I had one more thing I was going to tell y'all, but I lost it in my stack of papers. That's terrible, isn't it? Maybe not. This was a very long, it was a longer podcast than I usually do. Yep, I lost it. Oh, there it is. So, we don't want to be like the house that was built on sand, because we didn't listen when we were told. Okay? We don't want to be stupid. The enemy will destroy you quickly if that is the case. And if you're responsible to take care of your family, he'll take them too. And you might have to watch. Will he find faith, real faith in your house when he returns, the Lord, when he returns? When you go into the end times, are you going to have faith? Are you going to have on shiny armor? You can choose to let him increase your faith now. You can choose to ask him to increase your faith now, to give you the whatever amount of faith you need for what you personally are going to go through in the end times. You may not go through as much as somebody else. You may not have to learn very much. But I'll tell you something. I would not take any amount of money for the faith I have. If somebody walked up today and said, I will write you a check for $1 million for that faith, I wouldn't give it up, because my faith's worth a lot more than $1 million. It can get me through stuff $1 million can't get me through. Can I just tell you that? All right, that's all I have for y'all this week. I hope this blesses you. And I really pray that you will take this to heart and listen. Listen to whatever God is showing you and whatever he's speaking to you. And a lot of times when God speaks to you, it just comes as a thought up in your spirit. But pay attention to it, because if he's trying to show you something, you're going to need it. Okay? Thanks for watching and listening. Jesus bless you. Y'all have a great week. Thank you so much for tuning in today to Just Praise Him Radio. You can contact me by mail at my new address, JPH Inc., Glenda Lomax, P.O. Box 60, Glencoe, Arkansas 72539, or by email at jphtoday@gmail.com. JPH is not affiliated with any nonprofit organization, church, or denomination. Do you know someone who is going through a wilderness season right now? Have you heard about the Wilderness Companion Study Guide? It's a workbook with 41 lessons, including new stories from the wilderness and questions to help you work through your own wilderness experience. Read each lesson, then complete the questions to apply the lesson to your own wilderness experience. Get your copy of the Wilderness Companion Study Guide today and get one for a friend. Available now on Amazon.com. The Wilderness Companion Study Guide by Glenda Lomax, available on Amazon.com. Have you ever gone through a time in your life where all of a sudden it just felt like your whole life was falling apart? I call these experiences the wilderness experiences. Wilderness experiences are times of great uncertainty and change. They are times when our faith is tried and refined. After many of these wilderness experiences in my own life, the Lord spoke to me to write The Wilderness Companion, which is a virtual roadmap through the desert times of your life. Find out why you've been led into the wilderness. Find out what the biggest hindrance is to receiving your provision in the wilderness. Find out what the seven temptations of the wilderness are. Drastically cut the time you spend in the wilderness by learning how to partner with the Lord instead of working against Him. Every Christian needs to read The Wilderness Companion. The Wilderness Companion by Glenda Lomax is available on Amazon.com or wingsofprophecy.com in print, Kindle, and new audiobook versions. The Wilderness Companion. Don't go into the desert without it.